أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم صلاة وتسليما يلقان بمقام أمير الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدًا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين صل اللهم وسلم وبارك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميمين أما بعد جماعة المسلمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تخونوا الله والرسول وتخونوا أماناتكم وأنتم تعلمون واعلموا أنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة وأن الله عنده أجر عظيم وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن من أزواجكم وأولادكم عدوا لكم فاحذروهم وإن تعفوا وتصفحوا وتغفروا فإن الله غفور رحيم إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة والله عنده أجر عظيم صدق الله العظيم جماعة المسلمين two emphatic statements in the Holy Quran and this is a statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is repeating and never ever does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeat something except for the purpose of emphasizing its importance. And this particular statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing is the statement of the reality of the trial of our wealth and our children. These two go together. The trial of our wealth and the trial of our children. In the first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and here we are going to Surah Al-Anfal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with verse number 27. Where He says, O those of you who believe, do not betray Allah and His Messenger. And do not betray the trusts that you have taken on. Do not betray Allah and His Messenger. Why? Because when we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are we doing? We are taking on a covenant with Allah and His Messenger that we will obey Allah and His Messenger. And one of the great purposes of the trial and tribulation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts the believers with is to make manifest who are those who have fulfilled their covenant and who are those who have betrayed the covenant. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتن الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. Allah سبحانه وتعالى says in Surah Al-Ankabut Alif Lam Mim, only Allah سبحانه وتعالى knows the true meaning of الحروف المقطعة, the broken letters. أحسب الناس, does mankind think أن يتركوا, that they're going to be left alone, أَيَقُولُوا آمَنَّا, that they're going to say, we believe, وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ, and that they're not going to be tested. And indeed, we have tested those who came before them in order that Allah might make manifest who are those who have been true to their covenant. In other words, who have fulfilled their covenant. And to make manifest who are those who have belied their covenant. In other words, those who have betrayed their covenant with Allah and His Messenger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, do not betray Allah and His Messenger. Live your lives, and I start with myself, in accordance with the commands of Allah and the commands of our beloved Prophet Muhammad salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. وَمَا يُطِعِ الرَّسُولُ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever obeys the Messenger, it is as if they have obeyed Allah. Why? Because he's the Messenger of Allah. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He does not speak out of vain desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَى. It is nothing but revelation inspired. Either the revelation via Jibreel alayhi salam of the uncreated speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Quran, or whatever he speaks is inspired to him by Allah. But he does not speak out of vain desire. So that's the first command. Do not betray Allah and His Messenger. Be true to your covenant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran that we have taken on by saying, this is the covenant. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تخونوا الله والرسول وتخونوا أماناتكم. And when we do betray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger in not fulfilling our covenant, in not living within the bounds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets for us, what will we end up doing? End up betraying the trusts that you have taken on. وَتَخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Whilst you know what you are doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ. And verily know this, that your wealth and your children are a trial for you. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. And by Allah is the greatest reward. One of the greatest trusts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in our hands is the trust of our wealth. The trust of our wealth. It doesn't belong to us. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ. And spend out of that which He has made you trustees of. وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ. And your children. Allah, what a great trust. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the beautiful gift of children and places them as a trust in our care. Likewise with our wives, our spouses. When we took their hands in marriage, we took on a trust, not just with the father of the bride, or the caregiver of the bride, because now we're taking over that responsibility as men. I'm speaking specifically about the men, about the husbands. When we said, قَبِلْتُ نِكَاحَهَا لِنَفْسِ بِذَلِكَ, I accept her marriage for myself for the agreed amount, dowry. What were we doing? We were taking on a trust with Allah, an amana, a great amana. As our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam states emphatically in the farewell sermon, he says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ فَإِنَّكُمْ أَخَذْتُمُوهُنَّ بِأَمَانَةِ اللَّهِ. Be mindful of Allah with regards to your wives, for indeed you have taken them as trust from Allah. So the wife is given as a trust, and then the children, the offspring from that marriage, are then placed primarily under the care of the father, firstly as a trust, and then the mother. كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته فالرجل راع في بيته وهو مسؤول عن أهل بيته أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم والمرأة مسؤولة عن أهل بيت زوجها أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Meaning of the hadith that all of you are shepherds and all of you will be questioned about your flock. So the man, he is responsible, he is going to be questioned about his duty over the family, his responsibility, his trust that he's taken on with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by getting married and having children. And likewise, his wife, she is also going to be questioned about her duty and responsibility and the trust that Allah has placed in her care. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clearer in the Holy Quran in terms of those roles and responsibilities when he says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Men are the maintainers of women. In other words, the men, they are the duty-bound breadwinners of the household. بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضُ. By that which Allah has favored some of them over others. وَبِمَا أَنفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. And because of that which they spend out of their money. Duty bound by Allah. فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهُ. And so the pious women, they are qanitat. The mufassirun, they say muti'at. The pious women, they are those that obey their husbands in that leadership position that Allah has placed them in. Doesn't make them superior to their wives. It just makes the responsibility or the load that they are bearing a little bit heavier. فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ. And so the pious women, they are obedient to their husbands in the obedience of Allah. In the obedience of Allah. لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. There is no obedience shown to the creation if it's in the disobedience of the Creator. فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ. And they protect. What do they protect? They protect their chastity in the absence of their husbands. And they protect his wares, his property. فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ. لِلْغَيْبِ, غَيْب meaning when he is absent. بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ, by that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined upon her to protect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the different roles and responsibilities. And these roles and responsibilities are a trust by Allah that we're going to be questioned about on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Now let's come back to the topic at hand here. And that is the trial of wealth connected to the trial of raising children. Jamaat al-Muslimin, the divorce rate is through the roof. I read an article recently where it said that in America, out of every 100 marriages, there are 34 divorces in America. And it says South Africa is not trailing too very far behind. I think 2015, you can correct me for 1,000 or 10,000 or so, but plus minus, there were in 2015 just over 100,000 or 110,000 marriages in South Africa, and there was about 55,000 divorces. Plus minus, you can correct me for a few thousand here or there. And that's without speaking about, especially in our community, where majority of Muslims are not married in the court, are not married by home affairs. And yet our divorce rate is also sky high. And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the trial of wealth before he speaks about the trial of children? Have you ever thought about that? In both these verses that I have made mention of in this khutbah today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the first verse, he says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ أَوْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. The first one, he says, and know that your wealth and your children are a trial for you. And in the other verse, إِنَّمَا Very powerful article this is. إِنَّمَا, it's called Adat al-hasr wa qasr. It is used for absolute emphasis. In other words, without any exception, your wealth and your children are a great trial for you. And I have pondered over this, and I've thought to myself, well, it certainly doesn't have anything to do with our attachment or our love, because nobody loves money more than they love their children. Well, at least we would give the benefit of the doubt to most human beings, decent human beings. Otherwise, I think you'll see more children for sale on Gumtree, especially with the problems that they're giving their parents. So nobody loves wealth more than they love their children. I thought about it, Wallahu A'lam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But it is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that unless you pass the trial of wealth, you will not pass the trial of your children. Why? Because you'll be too busy chasing after the dunya. And this is what's happening. And in a lot of cases, divorce is happening because of finances, because of money. And then who pays the price? The children. Because now it's a broken home. And remember that the family is the mihwar, is the axis of the society. It's the axis around which the entire society revolves. A good strong family equals a good strong society. A good strong Muslim family equals a good strong Muslim society. So we need to understand, where are we going wrong in failing the trial of wealth, and therefore failing the trial and the trust of the children that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in our care, and that He's going to question us, especially us as husbands and fathers, Allah is going to question us about on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Oh, those of you who believe, save yourselves. Wa ahlikum, ahlikum, ahl can mean wives, and it can mean wives and if you have children. So save yourselves and your wives, and if you have your children, from the fire. The Arabs have a saying, Al-ashya'u tu'arafu bididdiha. Things are known by their opposites. So if you're saving your family from the fire, where are you taking them? Taking them to Jannah. Oh, those of you who believe, save yourselves and your wives, and if you have your children, from the fire, its fuel is men and stones. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to the men, save yourselves? Speaking directly to us. Does it mean that we must first worry that if there's a Boeing 747 fueled on the runway, probably not South African Airways, but anyway, that's another topic for another time. A Boeing 747 fueled on the runway, ready to take off for Jannah, that we must first make sure that we've got seats. The men. And then if there's any seats left over, then you worry about the wives and the children. Is that what it means? No. Of course not. What it means is, save yourselves, you men, you fear Allah first. You men, you make sure you're being mindful of Allah first. You men, you make sure that you're implementing the laws and commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into your lives first. Why? So that you can be a practical example for your wives and your children to follow. Or wife, depending, you know. Because the man is like the sun, and the woman is like the moon. And this is not my similitude. This is Allah's similitude. This is Allah's mathal. Allah's example. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. And for Allah is the best of examples. What's the example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes in the Holy Quran? The dream of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. وَإِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِسَاجِدِينَ. And call to mind when Joseph, peace be upon him, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, when he said to his father, oh my father, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, Israel, when he said to his father, Jacob, oh my father, I am seeing in a dream 11 stars and the sun and the moon prostrating themselves before me. Who were the 11 stars? His brothers. Ribun and Shimyun and Asher and Naphtali and Levi and Binyamin and Yusuf. Oh, Yusuf, he's the one telling the story. The 12 sons of Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, Nabi Yusuf sees his 11 brothers in the dream as stars. وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ, and the sun and the moon. The sun is who? The sun is his father. And the moon is his mother. Now why should the father be the symbol or the similitude for the father? And the moon be the similitude or the symbol for the mother? Quite simply, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the sun and the moon, وَجَعَلَ الْقَمَرَ فِيهِنَّ نُورًا وَجَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ سِرَاجًا هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءً وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا. Two different verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the first verse, and He has made the moon in the firmament, in the heavens, as a light. As a light. And He has made the sun as a lamp. What's the difference? The lamp is the emitting light, and the nur, the siraj, and the nur is the reflecting light, like the sun and the moon. Rasulullah SAW speaking about the sun is the emitting light, the siraj, and the moon is the reflecting light. And this is how the father and the mother should be. That light of guidance in the home has to start with the father. And it has to reflect off the mother. وَالَّذِي جَعَلَ الشَّمْسُ ضِيَاءً, the other word that he uses in the second verse, he has made the sun as a ضِيَاء, أَضَاءَ يَضِيءُ, which means light that is emitted, illuminating light, illuminating light. وَالَّذِي جَعَلَ الشَّمْسُ ضِيَاءً وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا, and he's made the moon as a reflecting light. So it begins with us. We think, no, I'm just, my duty is that I must go and make the paisa. That's all my duty is. I make the paisa, I leave everything else to my wife. This is a fallacy. This is a fallacy. Yes, at the end of the day, like many people say, if deen comes into the life of a man, it comes to his doorstep. And if deen comes into the life of a woman, it goes into the home. Yes, in terms of practice maybe. Why? Because the mother spends more time with the children. Traditionally. Nowadays, so many of our sisters, and blame it on society, but at the end of the day, it's us that are sending our daughters to university. Go and get a career. Go and become a corporate woman. Become an accountant. Become a lawyer. Become, you know, something that is looked up to in society. Forgetting that this is not the primary role of a woman. We've actually taken the primary role of a woman and we've put it under our shoes. For a woman to be in her home, for a woman to be the university of the child. Al-ummu madrasatun idha a'adattaha a'adatta sha'ban tayyiba al-a'raqi. Like Ahmad Shawqi says, the mother is a madrasa. She's a university. If you prepare her well, meaning our daughters, if you prepare our daughters well to be mothers, then you have prepared a nation of great pure stock. But no, we instead, we are preparing our daughters to be career women. And I would say there's nothing wrong with a woman having a career. But as long as she understands that's not her primary role. Not by Riyadh walls, by Allah. By Allah. In actual fact, if you hear the first time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the creation of the first woman, what does He say? هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها ليسكن إليها. It is He, Allah, who has created you from a single soul, and He has made from that soul a partner for that soul. Why? ليسكن إليها, that he might find repose in her. What's repose? peace, comfort, tranquility, contentment. Why? Because he's out there trying to bring in the lawful sustenance for the family, making his effort in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a believer. We're speaking about the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the true believers. Ameen. He goes out every day in search of that lawful sustenance, but he has to toil. This is the nature. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Adam and Hawa, don't eat from the tree. Why? Because what will happen? You will be taken out of the garden. Fatashqa. And then he turns only to Adam and says, and you will have to toil. He's speaking in the dual when he says, La taqraba, don't go near to the tree. And yukhrijakuma, that you will both be taken out of the garden. But then he turns to Adam and says, Fatashqa, and then you will be the one that will have to toil. Why? Because it's not Hawa's duty. She is not the breadwinner. She is not duty bound to go out and toil. You are the one that is designated to go and toil, to go and sweat, to go and work hard, to feed your dependents, to put a roof over their head, to put clothing on their backs. So after going out for the day and toiling and sweating, maybe having to heckle with this customer and being reprimanded by one's supervisor and being called into the office by one's boss, he gets home in the evening and he knocks on the door and the door is opened and he hears, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome home, my loving husband. How was your day today? And immediately, all of that worry and anxiety, all of that hum and that gham, what happens to it? Sakana. It becomes still. And he feels peace. مَا نَلَ الْمَرْءُ بَعْدَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ مِنْ إِمْرَأَةٍ صَالِحَةٍ إِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا أَصَرَّتُهُ وَإِذَا أَمَرَهَا أَطَاعَتُهُ وَإِذَا أَقْسَمَ عَلَيْهَا أَبَرَّتُهُ. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, never ever has a man attained anything after being conscious of Allah better than a pious wife. If he looks at her, he's pleased. He's happy. I'm home. Honey, I'm home. If he looks at her, he's pleased. Feels peace. Feels contented. Feels happy. Feels tranquil. If he commands her to do something within the boundaries of Allah, she obeys him. And if he takes an oath against her, she frees him from that oath. Subhanallah. But then again, we might be all thinking, hey, I wish my wife could be like that. But are we a pious husband to our pious wives? We want our wives to be pious, but we are scoundrels. Wal-iyadu billah. We seek refuge in Allah from being scoundrels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-khabithatu lil-khabithin, wal-khabithuna lil-khabithat, wal-tayyibatu lil-tayyibin, wal-tayyibuna lil-tayyibat. The scoundrel women are for the scoundrel men, and the scoundrel men are for the scoundrel women, and the good pious women are for the good pious men, and the good pious men are for the good pious women. In fact, this is the tafsir, the great tabi'i, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. His daughter, Hafidhat al-Qur'an, she's reciting the Qur'an one day and she gets to Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. Oh Allah, grant us the goodness of this life and the goodness of the hereafter. So he asks her, Ya binti, madha fahimti min al-Qur'an? Oh my daughter, what have you understood from the Qur'an? She says, Ya abati inni fahimtu kulla ayatin kulla shay'in illa ayatun wahida. She says, I've understood the whole Quran except for one verse. And she recites that verse. Oh Allah, grant us the goodness of this life and the goodness of the hereafter. Then she says, Amma hasanatul akhirati fahiya ma'rufa hiya al-jannah. As for the goodness of the hereafter, it is well known, it is Jannah, paradise. Fama hiya hasanatul dunya. So what is the goodness of this life, oh my father? So he looks at her and he smiles and he says, Ya binti, hasanatul dunya زَوْجَةٌ صَالِحَةٌ لِزَوْجٍ صَالِحٍ. He says, oh my daughter, the goodness of this life is a good pious woman, a good pious wife for a good pious husband. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us pious husbands for our pious wives. But it starts with us, Jamaat al-Muslimin. We have to set the example. And we have to be very mindful. Yes, times are tough. Yeah, the petrol's going up again. Inflation is through the roof. There's a recession in the country. A lot of our wives are forced out of necessity to go and work. But that does not come without preconditions. That does not come without responsibilities. Because if we don't have ghira for our wives, then as our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes in the hadith, لا يدخل الجنة الديوث. The dayuth will not enter paradise. The dayuth will not enter paradise. The sahaba asked, من الدايوث يا رسول الله? Who is the dayuth? So the Prophet answered, من لا غيرة له. The man that's got no ghira. He doesn't worry what's happening to his wife at work. Whether she is being hit on. Who said in Afrikaans? Say what gebouw. The men at work, Kevin and Rajesh and Vanesh and Steven, are going to town, flirting with his wife. And he's not worried about it? Ma'ad Allah. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that. So we have to make sure that the environment in which our wives are working is a safe environment, where they are respected, where they are honored, where they are not sexually abused. Because then the sin is going to fall on us, wal'iyadu billah. So this is the situation that we find ourselves in. That many women are going out to work. But it still does not absolve us of the responsibility that we have over our children. The trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in our care. And very often what is happening, we get so focused on the money that we forget about the children. Like I say, some people are just, you know, struggling to make ends meet. But other people, no, we want to grow the business. We want a second home. We want another car. We want to go on a nice holiday. So we must work harder and longer hours. And where do we leave the children? Put them in daycare. Leave them with a neighbor. Or buy the full bouquet of DSTV and give them each a remote. And then we wonder why our children are growing up without a solid foundation of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jamaat al-Muslimin, I'm going to stop there. And inshallah we'll continue next week with this very important topic. A topic firstly for myself and then for all of you. How are we going to fulfill our responsibilities as husbands and as wives in order that we can create that good, strong Muslim family in order that we can be a good, strong Muslim community. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Oh, is that here? So, is it? Sorry, just an announcement here. Oh, it's just for Muhammad Ali bin and his nephew Nazim bin, and also for Rashad Cupido of Kensington. We're all celebrating their birthdays. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all long life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Grant health and strength. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heal all of our sick and shower mercy on all our deceased. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب يا رب يا ستار العيوب استر عيوبنا يا رب يا غفار الذنوب اغفر ذنوبنا يا رب يا مفرج الكروب فرج كروبنا يا رب يا علام الغيوب قنا شر ما أهمنا وغمنا ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا عليما بخلقك يا خبيرا بخلقك يا لطيفا بخلقك ألطف بنا بما جرت به المقادير إنك على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله يا من بدنياه اشتغل وغره طول الأمل الموت يأتي بغتة والقبر صندوق العمل الأم مدرسة إذا أعددتها أعددت شعبا طيب الأعراق وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين بلغ العلا بكماله كشف الدجى بجماله عظم جميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله صلى عليك الله يا علم الهدى ما هبت النسائم وما ناحت على الأيك الحمائم أما بعد فيا حماة الإسلام وحراس العقيدة إلى أين يا سادة الكرام اسمعوا معي إلى ما قاله مولانا تبارك اسمه في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واعلموا أنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة وأن الله عنده أجر عظيم وقال تعالى إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة والله عنده أجر عظيم صدق الله العظيم في أخوة الأفاضل في هذه الأيام نجد أن المسلمين المجتمع المسلم نجد لقد كثر فيه الطلاق وإن الأسرة المسلمة إذا انفكت نجد أن المجتمع سوف ينفك فيا أخوة الأفاضل علينا كالرجال أن نكون من الذين يقدمون القدوة العملية كما أمرنا الله سبحانه وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وإن فعلنا ذلك لوجدنا إذا قدمنا هذه القدوة الحسنة لوجدنا أن المسلمات الصالحات سيكن من المطيعات بإذن الله الواحد الديان أعود بكم من هناك إلى هنا وما أدراك ما هنا هنا مدرسة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول فيها الحبيب المصطفى البر لا يبلى والذنب لا ينسى والديان لا يموت اعمل ما شئت كما تدين تدان ويقول أيضا كل ابن آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد فيا أيها المسلمون أوصيكم ونفسي المذنبة أولا بتقوى الله تعالى وطاعته فقد قال الله تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن واكثروا عباد الله من الصلاة والسلام على سيدي وحبيبي ونور قلبي محمد طب القلوب ودوائها وعافية الأبدان وشفائها ونور الأبصار وضيائها. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن الحسن والحسين وأهل البدر والحنين وعن سائر أهله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن سائر صحابته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي بفضلك كلمتي الحق والدين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين وفي غزة خاصة يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في الشام في حلب وحمص ومعارة النعمان. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في اليمن وفي كل مكان. اللهم انصر مثبت أقدامهم يا رب العالمين. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله وأقم الصلاة. قام الله وأدام ما دامت السماوات والأرض. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. استو اعتدلوا تراصوا سد الخلل سو صفوفكم فإن تسوية الصف من تمام الصلاة. Heels in line, shoulder touching shoulder, close all the gaps. And please make sure that all cell phones are on silent or switched off. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر ها إلا الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله العظيم استغفر الله العظيم استغفر الله العظيم التواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم ونتوب إليه ونسأله التوبة والمغفرة إنه هو التواب الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما أولئك يجزون الغرفة بما صبروا ويلقون فيها تحية وسلاما خالدين فيها حسنة مستقرا ومقاما ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.